The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, happy Friday. It's the last Friday of July, and it is hot. It's supposed to be over 100 the next week out here, and it is certainly not normal. I had that map posted up at the top of the homepage three, 4 days ago, and with the simple question, is this normal? No, it's not. Something is amiss, and I think we know what it is. I have another really important story up there. It's called Frankenskies, and you should take a look at that. Understand that the atmosphere of this planet, and it is a very thin atmosphere. The International Space Station is only 240 miles up in orbit, and the rocket that Kim fired last night in the darkest part of the night went up, I think, 1,800 miles, according to one report. Others said it was 800 miles. In any case, that's at minimum four times as high as the International Space Station. You think about it. People don't think about that. ICBMs go up, they leave the Earth's atmosphere, they track their descending path, and then they have to re-enter. That's why the nose cone is so important on these MIRVed warheads. They've got to be able to withstand that searing heat, melting heat. But Kim continues, and meanwhile, in Washington, it's musical chairs. It's Trump, you're fired. And it's just getting crazy. Dean Henderson is with us this first night. He's here once a month. He is frequently on Press TV and many other places. Hello, Dean. Welcome back.
Hey, Jeff. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. This situation in D.C., it's getting worse and worse. I mean, this musical chairs thing, Rex Tillerson is rumored to be on the way out. He's looking to get out. Wouldn't surprise me. Even as nutty as Rex is, you know, it's, who wants to be in that loony bin? Now we've got Trump surrounded by not Reince Priebus, the very suspect, strange man, but John Kelly now has taken over as chief of staff after the mafiosi Scaramucci was appointed. Tony Scaramucci. Apparently, Kushner and Princess Ivanka got him put in there. They went to Daddy and said, "You got to bring Tony in here as our chief communications director." And so Tony came in, and we all saw the high-level verbal acumen he displayed yesterday with his wonderful choice of words. What an idiot. So he drove Priebus out. He drove Sean Spicer out. We've got another general at Trump's right hand. Trump is surrounded by generals, military men. This is clearly a government run by international Zionist Jews and the military-industrial complex. And it is serving both of those interests, if they're not indeed the same, with 100% effort, period. How do you see it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just, you know, I think they had a, you know, they have a game plan for everybody. They had a game plan for Trump. They had a game plan for Hillary. And when I say they, I mean the Illuminati bankers, and how to keep them in line, how to make them do, you know, what they want you to do. So what they're doing with Trump is they're using the Democrat, you know, liberals to basically they're doing this fake, you know, Russia thing. That's all you see on the mainstream media.
What a nauseating. Nauseating.
It's nauseating, and it's just all lies. And of course,
more sanctions.
And that's the thing. And they're basically, you know, Vault 7 just came out. Julian Assange, WikiLeaks released that.
Yeah.
Shows that the CIA is behind all these supposed Russian hacks. But they're using that bludgeon on Trump to keep him in a militaristic mindset for the military-industrial complex. So it's like North Korea. It's like, he goes to Saudi Arabia, he bombs Syria. And every time he does that, like Brian Williams, NBC, when he bombs Syria, he said, oh, he looks presidential finally. Well, yeah, because and when he doesn't look presidential, and he gets off of the path or off of the goals of these bankers and these Zionists, Israelis, then they bludgeon him with the progressives. So they're thinking, oh, well, this will be great. We can get Trump. We'll get, you know, if Trump wins, we'll turn the usually anti-war Democrats into warmongers. And that seems to have worked because none of them have any sense now either. I mean, neither side has any sense. I mean, you know, it's 50 no's and it's 50 yeses on the health. You know, it's just like this, you know, McCain broke today and went with, you know, Snow and whatnot. But, I mean, it's just, this is how they control presidents. Presidents are just puppets. Presidents don't have really any real power. They just pick people who they know their personalities. They know their weaknesses. They know how to manipulate them. Trump's weakness is his dad was too hard on him. And he always, so because of that, he just never got enough love from his father. You know, and so he's always trying to be the most popular guy, and he's always trying to do the popular thing.
Big insecurity complex, strange.
Big insecurity complex. Yeah. So when he hears, you know, when he hears this stuff, Russia, 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 what's it make him want to do? Well, it makes him want to, you know, pass, you know, go ahead and sign this bill that the House and Senate passed to sanction Russia, sanction Iran. Now, on the other hand, I got to say, there's some interesting things going on. You know, Tillerson goes to Qatar and talks to them before he goes to Saudi Arabia. They seem to be, Trump seems to be backing off his criticism of the Qatar government. And in that situation, you know, it's clear that, you know, the Saudis represent the Israeli interests. They're just two sides of the same coin, even though one's Muslim, one's Jew. Just shows your religion has nothing to do with it, nothing at all. It's Muslim Brotherhood and the Kabbalists. Over here it's the Masons, you know, around everything to the Christian church or whatever, even though it's demonic, but they hide behind religion. And so, you know, Qatar has been friendly with Iran. Qatar is still funds Hamas in the West, you know, in Gaza and the West Bank. And Saudi doesn't even do that anymore. They used to fund Hamas. They don't even do that anymore. So, you know, it seems like this, they're coming down almost on the side of Qatar in this dispute. Also, the sanctions on Iran and Russia that have been put so far have just been out of this playbook that Obama actually had, and they're just like pick and choose. If Iran does this, we can do this, and they're just petty sanctions. And Flynn's gone, and he was the Islamophobe, so there's no more. You know, I'm not so sure Trump wants to do any of this, is what I'm getting at. I don't think he really wants to play this role, but I think this is how they're making him do it. This is how they're going to make him do it. And so I don't know. It's a very unstable situation, but I still think that the real powers that be, you're right, it's the military-industrial complex, and, you know, and it's the bankers. And, you know, they're going to keep him on this, they're going to keep the pressure on him this way, and then he'll do what they want.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good grab of the situation. Kim fired off an IRBM, not an ICBM, in the middle of the night last night, It went up. People don't understand this technology. They really don't get it. And they think, oh, it's a missile. Yeah, you can see it. It flies low. No, it goes way the hell out in space and it comes back down. Yeah. So, okay. That brought a response again from the Pentagram that 3 months, we're running out of patience. They're putting a time limit on this thing. And then they also come out with statements, if there's a war against North Korea, it's going to be deadly bloody. Many people will die. Well, okay, 1 + 1 = 2 to some of those idiots. They're going to do something. Something's coming. Is it Ukraine? Is it Iran? Is it North Korea and Kim? They will not be able to vanquish Kim in North Korea. It isn't going to happen. If they fight him, if they nuke him, everybody loses. We lose. It isn't going to happen. God only knows what China is going to do. I wouldn't send for somebody to come into my front yard and destroy something I had built, which
and
is what
Russia.
They've done. That's
you
right.
Now remember, Russia is the Vladivostok, right? Pretty much.
It's right there.
It's right there.
The bill sitting on Trump's desk that he hasn't signed yet for new sanctions on Russia will be another major escalation. And the way I'm seeing it is that Putin is out of patience. He's had it. I don't know how he's lasted this long with this lunacy. And he's already shut the American embassy staff down to a lower level. He's told them to get your people out of here. We don't want so many here. He took away their storage privileges for their private storage facilities. So he's beginning to ratchet down. If Trump signs that, and if he's forced to sign it, and I tend to agree with you, I think he's not his own man at all.
He's kind of forced to sign it.
Yeah, he's doing it. If he does that, that's going to really put a lot of pressure on Putin to do something substantial. It just is. What it'll be, I don't know. But we deserve, frankly, this country, not you and I and all of you listening, but the American government deserves to have its ass kicked big. And I don't know how that's going to happen, but it really is warranted.
It is absolutely warranted. And that's the whole point of this thing, where it looks like Trump is, being targeted with this Russian allegations. It's not Trump at all. Trump's just like a patsy that they're going through, and who they're trying to damage is Putin, because they don't like Putin, because Putin is an actual leftist.
Right.
Putin isn't also tuned into the conspiracy stuff with the Illuminati and stuff. I mean, he's both, and that's a dangerous combination. When you're both of those things, then they want to kill you.
Yeah.
I should know. And Putin, of course, is the one person who has the stature that could put an end to all this shit. So I think he wanted to give Trump a chance, and I think, yeah, you're right. He's now seeing that, okay, they're just going to do the same thing. But the other thing is, which one, you say Ukraine or who's it going to be? Well, maybe it doesn't even matter, because the whole point is this permanent war economy, I think, Jeff. And it's the only thing keeping this economy from crashing already, which it would have a long time ago. But they just have to have this constant conflict, because it means contracts for the defense companies and contracts for the oil companies, rebuilders, whatever. It just keeps the factories humming in all these districts where, there's military-related, industries in every single congressional district of this country.
Sure.
So it's more about just keeping the fear going, keeping the boogeyman out there, and then, hey, as many boogeymen as you can have out there, the better. Now, Venezuela is now another one. They're sponsoring these little rich kids to get out in the street down there.
Oh, yeah.
Cisneros, it's the oligarchy in Venezuela. The answer to David Rockefeller, and the Cisneros family is the most powerful. They own a big chunk of Royal Bank of Scotland, actually.
RBS, huh?
Yeah, they do. And a bunch of other stuff. And so they're the ones that are cut off. They've cut off all the food imports into that country because they own all the food import companies. They've cut out the oil. They're the ones putting the squeeze on their Venezuelan economy, on their own people, because they hate Maduro and Chavez, who Maduro was his vice president, But it's the same politics. It's a Bolivarian socialist revolution. That's what they call it, and that's what it is. And they don't like that. So, that's their latest thing, is to try to whip up the street violence with these thugs in Venezuela. And that's just another enemy, just some more contracts, just some more people in Colombia that, because they use Colombia as a base to attack Venezuela oftentimes. And they call Maduro, they say, I heard to They said he was in bed with the drug traffickers, but it's just the opposite. It's like what a psychopath does. They say what they're doing, they say you're doing, you know.
And it's reverse and projection, it's like, of course.
Reverse projection, exactly. So that's what they're doing. So, but it's just the whole point is they just have to keep this permanent war economy going. This is something that Wolfowitz and Richard Perle and these guys, all these dual Israeli citizens that were infiltrated into our State Department and still are with Kushner and, yeah, this new guy, what's-his-face. That
John Kelly.
Very good. Yeah,
and he was the head of DHS. Remember that? He quit DHS and came back. Oh, yeah, he is.
He's a scary guy, you know. So this is something big here. This is, I don't know what, but no, it's not a good turn of events. I mean, neither of us were really hot on Rince Priebus, obviously, but John Kelly's scarier. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on. It just seems like
think of the generals, General Joe.
This chaos. I mean, they seem to be creating this chaos in the administration. I'm almost intentionally, you know. And it's like, what's going on here? What are they leading us up to here? Because this isn't normal, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even if you're going to do this stuff, you don't do it this fast, and you don't have
Oh yeah, I agree.
You just for the stability of the country, you just can't do it. But you know, on the other hand, you know, nothing's going to happen because you know the Freedom Caucus, they're not going to pass any infrastructure spending. So any of the good things that he was going to do aren't going to happen. It's going to be nothing's going to come out of this administration. And then when that happens, the stock market's going to crash because all that expectation is baked in that Trump's going to do this and that, and he ain't going to do nothing. He'd be able to do nothing if he wants to. And then the stock market's going to crash. And then we have this whole, you know, new beer issue, which I am starting to think is imminent.
Which is this?
This whole new beer thing, you know, Planet X.
Nibiru.
People are like, yeah, there you go.
Planet 9 from outer space or whatever it is. Yeah. Okay, tell me. Hold on. Let me get to that in a minute. That's fascinating. Yeah. I want to talk about that. And that asteroid that just missed us, too. But first, let me go back to Venezuela. Your expertise in Central and South America is as good as it gets. There's five. All right, the Saudis have about 680 billion barrels of proven reserves in oil that they can get out of their land. 680 billion. The Venezuelans have about 5 trillion. Now, that's the mother lode. That's what this is really all about. Royal Judge Shell, all the big guys want this. Tillerson. So they're pushing for a war in Venezuela. As soon as they can ignite a civil war, we can go in there. We probably have special forces already in there. Take out. This is going to be probably the first war. Nobody's seeing it yet. It's disintegrating very fast there. I wouldn't be surprised to see American military involved in Venezuela before Iran, before North Korea, before Ukraine, before anywhere. It could be. That's 5 trillion barrels of recoverable oil. Mm-hmm. It's not all sweet crude. It's different varieties and all that.
Heavy. It's heavy crude. It's hard to process, but there's a lot of it, and it's all sitting under Lake Maracaibo.
There you go.
Then there's the biggest refineries in the world are on the island of Curacao. And one of them's owned by ExxonMobil, one of them's owned by Royal Dutch Shell. So how convenient, you know, to have all this oil. And that's why they put them there, by the way. And you know, so those refineries process all the West African oil as well. They send it from Nigeria over to Curacao, process it. And most of a lot of our oil now comes from West Africa, actually. But Venezuela is sitting right there. So, they want it back. And they had it for years. I mean, it was just a corrupt government. Creole Petroleum was the company that pretty much ran things, and that was a subsidiary of ExxonMobil. And so ExxonMobil, that's why I say David Rockefeller has a huge influence. His International Basic Economy Corporation was in there just setting things up. And they actually have a finca, you know, a big old ranch. The Rockefellers have a big old ranch in Venezuela. So that was a big loss, you know, when Chavez came in. I mean, because they got those refineries sitting right there. And it inspired, look what happened in South America, you know, all over the continent. It inspired Evo Morales in Bolivia. It inspired Rafael Correa in Ecuador, who fortunately withstood that last election and is still in power. mm-hmm. and they tried to take him out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they started mm-hmm. the Bank of the South, and that was Chavez, and that was an attempt to push aside the World Bank and the IMF and have their mm-hmm. own funding facility, not just for South America, but for the entire developing world. And that was a real threat to these eight families that own the banks. So, yeah, it's very strategic, and I would, and they really want it bad, and I think they can, you know, if he gets this constitution change and this constitutional assembly in there, I mean, it's basically, it's going to consist of working people for a change. It'll be like, I don't know, it's a real threat to the ricos, to the oligarchs that have run Venezuela for years, and so they're kind of at a really important point right now, where if that thing gets changed and if this new assembly comes in, they won't probably never have a chance to take it back, maybe. Because that, I mean, the other thing about it is, you know, you see these people protest, and what you don't see is the counter-protests supporting Maduro, and they're just 10 times or 100 times as large. And so the people of Venezuela have really bought into the revolution, and they're not going to give this up easy. So it will take, like, a war. It will take an intervention, a big military intervention, I think. It's not just going to be like, oh, we'll take Maduro out, and it'll be all better. They did that with Chavez, and guess what? They got Maduro, who's probably more radical than Chavez, honestly, in his policies.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't know that. Thought he was more conservative. Whatever. Yeah. All right. Well, this is interesting indeed. We got a break coming up here, but let's look at this situation pragmatically. How would the U.S., the CIA is down there head and shoulders mm-hmm. right now in Venezuela. They're manipulating, wheeling and dealing and threatening and killing and doing all their usual mm-hmm. shit. Excuse me, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
How would you see us militarily trying to justify? Remember, we just ordered all of our embassy families out of Venezuela today.
Yeah,
there's another big sign. See,
there's another sign, and I mean, they're already just trying to justify it with these pictures every day of these protesters on the street, and we're supposed to feel sorry for them. We're supposed to feel, you know, we're supposed to think that they're, you know, being oppressed and all this stuff, and they're actually the ones doing most of the killing. I mean, these people come out on the street armed and just start shooting people, and they probably are CIA and Mossad people in there doing this too. But it's not the government that's doing all this. It's these protesters that are causing this. And then they got this what they call them, green helmets or something, and you know about the white helmets in Syria.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Well, now they got these green helmets running around Venezuela, and they claim to be just, you know, medical workers, and they're going to help the people, all the people.
Same
but
old
you know
thing.
Who they are. I mean, and so they're in there. So they're gearing up. They've got a lot of resources employed down there already. You can see that. The next step will be to probably move the U.S. troops into Colombia, because that's our only ally in Latin America, really, anymore. Although the Argentinians did kind of go to the right this last election, so they're, I guess, back in our camp for a little while.
Well, Morales would let us in there, huh?
No, not Morales. It's Colombia. Who's the president of Colombia nowadays? I don't even know.
I don't even know either.
But, you know, Morales is Bolivia.
Bolivia,
you know?
Sorry.
He wouldn't let us in there, man. He's nationalized everything, and he's taken the natural gas back, and Bolivia's doing some good stuff. I mean, you know, they're already laying down the groundwork, you know, right now it's in the, you know, the psychological warfare stage.
Yeah, well, they got a big operation in the Pentagon that's overseeing all this, and the CIA.
Yeah.
You can count
Black
on that right
stuff.
Now. Right. Oh,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. Right now. Mm-hmm. All right. Hold on. Dean and I will be right back on this Friday night. We're going to talk about Planet Nine from Outer Space. It goes back to the wonderful 1956 Ed Wood film Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's where that title came from. Back after this. Okay, I'm back with Dean. Now, interesting to hear you mention Planet Nibiru, or the alleged Planet Nibiru, or whatever it is. We keep getting reports every so often about evidence of a large body, a planetary body, just outside the outer ring of planets in this solar system of ours. And I don't know. I know there are hundreds of thousands of amateur astronomers, and I don't understand how there can't be solar reflection off a large planetary-sized object out there that would be seen by everybody. All these people want to do is find something out there that can carry their name. Oh, I want my name on that. I found that comet. Well, my God, if they could find another planet right outside Pluto, or even further on out than right outside, they'd get their name on it. So, and it does, is it a planet that somehow is not reflective of the sun? What are you hearing? Why did you bring that up? That's very interesting.
Apparently, it's a hunch, and that's all it is with me. It's just because people are acting so crazy, and the magnetism of a planet of that size is three times the size of the Earth, apparently. But, you know, this goes all the way back to Sumerian clay tablets, and...
Well, this goes right back to astrology, Dean. This is magnetic, and otherwise some kind of influence on us, which is what the planets supposedly exert.
Yeah, and apparently this thing's going in the opposite orbit of all the other planets. And according to the Sumerians,
They drew it on their clay tablets, didn't they?
They drew it, and they said this thing crashed into this other planet, I think it was Tiara or something, and it busted it apart, and that basically the remnants of that planet are what became Earth.
And, or the asteroid belt.
Well, yeah, the part of it's the asteroid belt, part of it's the comets, which nobody can explain comets. I mean, you know, scientists come up with all these explanations for comets, but none of them make any sense. These things have water in them. How does that happen? So, this when Earth has water, and I mean... The thing is, there's so much, there's plenty of people throughout history who have spotted this thing. It goes back to Sitchin was in the 1950s, but there was guys in the 1930s in France who, you know, had found this. But everything's suppressed. I mean, in 1988, a NASA scientist came out and built his own observatory and everything in New Zealand and found it. Sent NASA the evidence that he found it. A little while later, he was dead, and that evidence is still classified. Mm-hmm. But it's all been suppressed. And so it's just interesting. I mean, there's a lot of talk about it right now, the fact that it could be close. Apparently, you won't see it till about 2 days before. And it's...
How is it not reflective? What is the explanation for that?
I don't know. I'm hearing from people, and again, you know, I'm not an expert on this, but I'm hearing that it's on the bottom of the Earth right now. It's Antarctica is the place where you'll see it first, which may explain why NSA built a huge observatory in Antarctica in 2007 and made it operational the next year. But they're just being hush hush about it. There's a lot of stuff in these clay tablets about it, and of course, you know, a lot of people talking about Nibiru aren't talking about the fact that this is where the Anunnaki came from. Apparently, genetically engineered us, left out a couple chromosomes, and
they did.
We're not from here. See, the thing is, you know, we were made. I mean, they called in the tablets, the original. Well, they went to South Africa. They were looking for gold. This is what the tablets say. They needed to mine gold because their atmosphere was disintegrating around Nibiru. And gold flecking is what works to protect from cosmic rays. That's why astronauts on their helmets have gold. And so they came to get it. They needed slaves to work the mines in South Africa. They did a little gene splicing, and they gave a lot of technology to Sumerians, which is why they were the first to do a lot of things. They had a math system that was more complex. accurate and just easier, really, than ours. But they talk about the first human, they call him Adamu, you know, like Adam. So a lot of the Bible stuff is coming from these tablets, too. Mm-hmm. And are they the gods is what I'm, you know, getting at, you know, that everyone talks about. One of the words that they, there's a word Ovid in the Sumerian, and it was the literal translation went into the Bible as worship, but it actually means work. So work for the gods, be slaves for the gods. There's another thing where Mesopotamia, where they landed, where Samaria is, right at the mouth of the, you know, Tigris and Euphrates River, where it drains into right mm-hmm. Basra. Mm-hmm. And this is where they landed. And this is where the tablets say they were forced into agriculture. You know, they were hunters and gatherers before that. And this is where agriculture was born. We know that. Mm-hmm. But they say they were forced into it to supply the cities of Ur and Babylon. And those cities, of course, were just, you know, full of just vice and filth and bad. And they were being run by hybrids that were closer related to the Anunnaki than us. But
Try this on. Try this out. The Anunnaki, talked about in ancient literature and even as being gods. We are the sons and daughters of gods. The sons and daughters of the Anunnaki? Did they create biological machines? We have a working, functional hard drive full of data that runs our bodies. It's called DNA. The chromosomes. We're machines. We're biological machines. Did they sprinkle a little fairy dust, a little AI into us to give us some uniqueness and creativity? Are we just bio machines with a little AI? And were they the gods that created us?
Yeah, apparently they fused chromosomes, and even the geneticists, the honest ones, will tell you that, you know, our stuff, it's not like the apes. It has nothing to do. I mean, they did take hominids. They did take primates, and, you know, probably,
right.
Made us out of that. But that doesn't mean we, you know, we're not, we don't have a lot in common with that. And this is explaining why, you know, we're not gonna go very long, because we weren't designed for a longevity. We were designed to be slaves. And this may explain why we're susceptible, even more than the animal community, you know, to cancer, to viruses, superbugs. The very first life on this planet, according to the Sumerians, was some stuff came off of Nubira onto Tiara, which became Earth, and it was just alien microorganisms.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting.
So right away, there's something that it's not even of this planet. But we're not of this planet, so we have a hard time here. You know, we don't have hair on our backs like apes. We have hair in the front. Why don't we have hair all over our bodies if we're coming from apes? You know, and there's just so many things.
We've been jumped ahead genetically. There's no doubt about it. Engineered. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and we're not very durable. And I don't know. I just think we're getting to a tipping point where, and then, of course, you know, Monsanto. Who's running Monsanto? Is it the Anunnaki or what? But, I mean, this is just the latest genetic.
Oh, they're short. They're short fusing our already short lives.
That's what I think. And so, are they coming back now? I don't know if they're coming back now. I just know people are acting crazy, and I know technology is playing a huge part of it. And like you say, if they put that little bit of AI in there, is there something about that that sort of makes it?
I think
crazy?
We're biological machines. I think the blueprint for it is right there in the chromosomes and the DNA, a double helix. That's a machine. I think it's also an antenna, a receiver. I think it may also potentially transmit, which may somehow interface with the so-called collective unconscious. When you think about that, we are a servant race. I think I agree with you on that. We're regressing. We're being taken back up in the trees now, or wherever we did. Well, we didn't come from the trees, but
the whole
we are absolutely being regressed. No question about it.
And it seems like right now we're regressing really rapidly. Like we've hit this tipping point.
Yeah.
Where
it does
from here on out, it could be a really steep descent for the human race. And is that, you know, okay, so that being said, is this the time when they're going to come back and they're going to re-engineer some more something before we all die for another planet or, you know, I don't know what's going on. But, I mean, you know, the average life expectancy has dropped 10 years for people in the last, you know, more people die of cancer in their 50s now than they do in their 70s.
Yeah.
And so it's just this, we're under attack, whatever it is, and the whole human race is under attack. And this is why just the chaos in the White House, it's just par for the course. I mean, here you have the Twitter president. You know, this guy gets elected basically by putting out these outlandish tweets, and he still puts them out. And
that's where the term twit came from, remember?
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, it's just so we're getting more and more plugged into that AI part that you're talking about, and further and further away from maybe those primates that at least we had a little bit of that in us that we could cope mm-hmm. with this reality here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the further away, you know, so it's almost like a self-destruct timer thing that they put in us. And maybe that's why they're marching out this technology just so rapidly right now, is because they are actually causing, you know, this rapid descent.
I think we've been here before and done the same ugly dance and destroyed ourselves in the past. I think we've had other extinction events of hominids.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the first time.
Maybe.
4.5 billion years is a long time.
Yeah.
Think
yeah.
about it.
And, yeah. And yeah, exactly. And according to one geneticist, our stuff only goes, you know, chromosomes, the mitochondria only goes back 250,000 years. And we've been told, oh, it's 4 billion or it's 8 billion or whatever, 8 million. And no, it's actually we're relatively new.
Hmm.
You
hmm.
know, so you may be right. There could have been another human race that was, you know, pure, that wasn't, you know, that got snuffed out. Because apparently the Anunnaki, it's not the first time they came here in Sumeria.
Right, right.
You know, some people say they were here 500,000 years ago, too. And, you know, and so what are they doing? And so is there another planet out there when this one gets wasted? Or, they, you know, they're going to need some slaves for that. I don't know. But it's mighty interesting. But I just know, you know, I just have a hunch because people are just crazy right now. And there's something big.
And as you said,
they're
getting worse.
They're getting
it's,
worse.
Yeah, absolutely getting worse.
Every time I go to town, I mean, I just am blown away by people don't listen. You know, it's that like nobody knows how to listen anymore because their mind's somewhere else because they've been on either a laptop or a cell phone or a TV or a screen time. And they're still thinking about that. They're still processing this onslaught of information that's coming at them that we're not supposed to, we don't know how to cope with it. Nobody does. And so they just don't listen. They don't hear what you say. I mean, I went in and tried to get some stuff done yesterday. And it's like, wow, you know, did you even hear what I said? You know, and they don't. And I don't know. So it's there's something bigger going on beyond politics, beyond. Beyond even and I don't know what it is. I can't, you know, but I think that I would definitely pay attention here in the next couple months. There was one person came out, gave a couple dates, August 21st and September 25th, I think, when he thought this thing could be passing real close. Interestingly, that you know, 21st is this big, solar eclipse, and it seemed pretty convenient to me if I was going to invade a planet that I would do it during a solar eclipse. But I don't know.
The eclipse doesn't last that long, though.
Yeah, or hide your stuff for a minute, or you know, I don't know.
Well, who knows? Well, it is. I guess anything but boring if you can still stay interested in it. And I agree with you that people don't listen. Those that will talk to you, what do? They try to tell you how things really are, know.
Yeah.
And when you're on output, there's no chance for you to process input and come to a better, more mature set of examples of wisdom that most people are supposed to be standing on. Here's one, an asteroid nearly as large as the Statue of Liberty. And this is a big piece of rock made a close pass by Earth coming And you know, this is the question. If they, the Pentagon, the military, and what other countries, if they knew somebody was coming, would they tell us? And the answer is no. Absolutely not.
There's only so much room in the bunkers.
They wouldn't tell us anything.
It's just like the Titanic. I mean, you know, the rich people get the boats. And
yeah,
the
and they sure as hell knew this was coming. There's no way to justify this. Oh, they didn't see it until 3 days after it flew by. That's crap.
Right,
that's total crap. They know everything that passes between Earth and the moon and elsewhere. And this thing was so close, Dean. It was less than one-third the distance between here and the moon. It was only 77,000 miles away.
That ain't far at all. And this thing, this, you know, is supposed to be dragging an kind of an asteroid field or some brown dwarfs or something. You know, it's not coming alone. And so who knows? Is this part of that or is this the beginning of that? I don't know. But yeah, they're not going to tell us nothing. That's the thing.
No.
And but you're absolutely right about, it's a really good point you make because that's what people are doing. They're not taking in what other people say, thinking about it, processing it, trying to learn from it anymore. They're just talking.
It's all output, just all noise.
All output. Yeah, it's like, hear me. It's like, what? Nobody else hears you? I got to hear you too? I mean, but they don't listen, and they talk too much. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. And they don't learn. They don't take in information from others and process it and go, oh, think about that. You know, maybe that's true.
Here's what they are.
Maybe it's not.
They're no longer living life proactively. They're not attacking life, creating, somehow making life fit their needs. They're not doing things. They're reacting. They're walking around drooling and reacting to all the stimuli that the mass media is throwing at them.
Yes.
That's all they're doing. They're reacting. React.
Yeah.
They're not proactive. There are examples that are far different than that and the reverse of that, and many of them are listening right now. You people are wonderful. You know what we're talking about here. The bottom line is they have engineered a drooling, reactive, zombified populace, and that's what they wanted, and it's getting to be worse, and it's underscored with Luciferian Satanism, pedophilia, human sacrifice, and all the rest of it. It is so evil. This is the planet evil. Sorry, there are wonderful people on it, but it is the planet evil, and it is getting worse.
Becoming that. Yeah, and technology is definitely the driver of that. And then what's behind the technology? That's the question. You know, is it part of the Anunnaki enslavement plan, you know, the technology. I mean, a lot of stuff came from Roswell, circuitry, all that stuff. You know, they didn't even have that. We'd be able to have computers if they hadn't drug some stuff away from that Roswell crash. So that's the thing. And so, yeah, it is. And you know, part of me is wondering, Jeff, lately, like, are the words like Satan and alien interchangeable? You know, because we're taught that they're the gods. Even the Bible, I mean, there's a lot, you know, if this is true, then the Sumerian tablets are right, and why wouldn't they be? Then, you know, we're basically being taught to worship the Anunnaki, who are what? Are they gods? No, they're like Satan. I mean, when you come here to enslave people and steal their gold, you don't have good intentions. So, I mean, if that's what it is, then are those two words interchangeable now? I mean, alien, you know. Alien, Satan is the devil. Is he an alien? Is that the aliens? I mean, is that just an alien influence on this earth that's not from here, that's not natural? Because me, I just kind of believe in, you know, natural law. And I'm an animist, and the animals guide me, my ancestors, you know, things that are from here, you know, not things that are in the sky, you know, not something out there that we don't really know what it is, that we're being told is what it is God. And they don't like that. That's why they wiped out all the Indians, because that's what they believed. And they weren't involved with this stuff. And it's my personal take on it is that, you know, the white people are probably the ones that we're closer to the aliens somehow. We're the worker bees. Look at how we do. I mean, most white people, they just worked way too much. They kiss ass. They bow down to the authority. They do what the boss tells them. They don't make weight.
You got a good point.
That's, you know, at least black and brown people, you see some spunk, you see some occasional riot, you see what they call laziness, which is, to me, more about maybe it's family time we're talking about, not laziness. We'll sit around, play some cards, and, you know, screw you, the man. Well, I'm not working for the man. What's wrong with that? I mean, but, of course, we're supposed to think that's laziness or bad or something. And, of course, there's real laziness, too, which is bad. But, I mean, it's not like that. I mean, I've seen Mexicans work, and they work harder than any white people I've ever seen, man, which is why we're going to be paying about five times as much for lettuce here pretty soon, because they can't find workers in these fields because they're all scared shitless. And so, I don't know, what is it like the white people, I don't know, it just seems to me we're a little bit closer to aliens, and so I don't know, but the Indians had it right, and they worship, you know, Mother Nature, the sun, the animals, things that provided for them. They didn't worship them. It's not like some woo-woo, you know, some of these liberals, they you know, make them out to be noble savages. It wasn't really like that. It was just more like, it was logic. It was like, it's logical if you run a buffalo herd over a cliff, brutally, by the way. There's nothing pretty about that. You know, there's nothing woo-woo about that, you know, or anything, or new age about that. You know, they try to lom onto this stuff and usurp it from native people and turn it into this crap, you know, in Sedona or whatever. But, it's brutal. But then they thank, you know, the buffalo. They pray to the, and they say thanks. And they say thanks to everything they kill. Because, and they say, you're better than we are, the animals, because you provide for us. We're, you know, we're beneath you. And if the chromosome thing's true, animals really are smarter than us, because they got 28, we got 26. And they really are smarter than us. They're more in tune. They're more aware. My cats, they know when stuff's coming. They know when a storm's coming way before I know. Hmm. You know, my sister told me a story where, you know, her cat that she had, and then her son took it to Omaha with him, and so he hasn't been in this house with the dog, Tila, for 5 years. The night the cat, Tiger, died, which is sadly last week, Tila was just going nuts the same night. And so they have the ability to intuit. They have the ability to see. They have the ability to do all these things. So we don't have that. We use 2% of our brain. The rest of it's been shut down. Who shut it down? And why?
2%. 2%.
Something like that, yeah. And there's all these other things, you know, up there that just don't seem to do anything. And, you know, that's what I think is when they engineered us. You know, they didn't want, you know, they wanted us just smart enough to do the work. And that's it. And they didn't, but no questions, no real intelligence, no intuition, no, you know, none of these things. But animals can do all that stuff.
Well, and then you look at...
And Indians could at one time, too, before they were bothered, you know.
The so-called great achievements in art and literature and science, essentially Caucasian people did that.
Yeah, mostly crap and lies.
Mostly. But there were some beautiful things. Here's the other thing, then we've got to say goodnight. New Agers, people who talk all the platitudes and all the BS and all that, and they con people with it, and they're very good at it, some of them.
Yeah,
and then they go to go out to a restaurant and order a steak.
Yeah, the snake oil people.
They eat meat.
They're horrible.
How the hell can you eat meat and be somehow spiritually advanced?
Yeah. Well, there was this the very first issue of New Age magazine. I saw a copy of it one time, and the inside cover actually says published by the Grand Orient Freemason Lodge, Washington, D.C. No shit. So, I mean, they invented it. You know, it's like...
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's
so,
very
yeah.
Funny.
So, all those guys, I can't stand them. But we're all just... Yeah, they'll come up with all kinds of crazy stuff for us to follow. And they do. They want us to be followers. So this whole reactive thing you're talking about kind of makes sense if it's sort of coming to the end here, because this is what they're looking for.
Especially... Something's coming. That's for damn sure. Yeah. Dean, thank you. Got to run. Great to talk to you.
Always. Thank you, Jeff. You too. Take care of yourself, all right?
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Buddy. All right.
Okay. Yep. Bye-bye.
Mr. Dean Henderson. And we'll be right back with hour number 2.